Echoes, an Anderson University podcast spotlighting alumni making a difference in the church and society.
Hello, Ravens, and welcome to another episode of Echoes, alumni podcast featuring alumni from all the years AU has doing amazing things in and around the world. And today we're really excited to have on the show two people. It's the second time we've on the podcast we've interviewed a couple, but today we have the Packards, Kelly and Rich. Kelly Spalding Packard, 1990 alumna, a communications major, and Rich, 1988, physics and math, here to talk about their AU experience, their life, and a really exciting project that they've started up. But first, just want to welcome the Packards. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Trent. We're excited to talk about AU always, and how AU impacted our lives and does so today.
Yeah, thanks, Trent, for having us. We look forward to sharing the ministry that we started and look forward to a good conversation.
Great. And you both also have a son that just graduated from AU, Evan, and is now in the RMBA program. And I know you're going to talk about Derek as well. But first and foremost, I know you guys have an exciting adventure that's kind of just getting going with the Living Hope Mountain Respite. And why don't you tell us a little bit about that ministry that you've started up?
Well, it's really born out of our journey of the loss of our son, Derek. And we're 7 years down this road of grief and of allowing the hope of Christ to give us what we need daily to endure the grief, to endure the separation that exists temporarily between us and Derek. And we've just really listened to the Lord to see how he would lead us in this phase of life. We're currently empty nesters, and we have a different sense of time, time availability. And really, out of the last 3 years, the Lord's been speaking through his word that he would have Rich and I comfort other marriages through the same comfort we've been given from God. And that comes out of 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 through 4. This journey has been arduous of experiencing the death of a child, and it impacts the marriage relationship in a pretty profound way. So our heart now is to comfort other marriages, to encourage them, equip them, empower them, so that the marriage moves through the loss of the child, not just surviving, but experiencing growth and fullness.
Yeah, it, not all ideas and all activities need to be your own original. Mm-hmm. We benefited from a ministry very similar to this a year after Derek passed away. And so as we sat and prayed and what would God have us do with this empty nesting phase, it just was really came to both of our hearts really that, you know, we should engage in a ministry that has marriage at its core, but really ministers to husbands and wives who are experiencing the loss of a child.
That's wonderful. That's a ministry that I know can really impact a lot of people in those situations. And you having gone through such a traumatic loss, your ability to share with those couples, I'm sure, is instrumental. When did the ministry start?
In 2017, it was New Year's Day, and I came across Isaiah 43:18 and 19 three times that day through different avenues. And it says, forget the former things. Behold, I do a new thing. I will make a way for you in the wilderness. And I didn't really understand what the new thing was. And slowly the Lord unraveled that the new thing would be Rich and I serving side by side in this ministry. And I think that anything that you're going to do that's new or seems daunting, you need affirmation. So it took a little while, but about 15 months ago, we started the process of forming a nonprofit, all the requirements that go with that, which honestly, as for me, a former basketball coach, that's not territory that's familiar. So a huge learning curve. So for 15 months, we've put the structure in place. We have formed a board of directors, had a website development company do our website, which we couldn't be happier with. And in all of that, I would say the affirmations are that God has brought other people with talents and gifts that we don't have to show us that this is indeed what we're supposed to do. And the website company would just be one of them. The church that we attend here uses this website company, and it's affordable for ministries and churches. Mm-hmm. That's just one small way. And then the people that are on our board are people that we've known for close to 20 years, if not more. And all of our board members knew Derek personally.
Yeah. And so you say when you get started, I mean, officially, I think in April, we received our nonprofit status from the IRS. And probably early May, we officially launched the website. So that would kind of be the official start. And but as Kelly said, it's quite the process just getting to that point.
Right. Well, and I'm sure that it hasn't been a picnic getting all this started with a pandemic hitting about the time that you did launch everything.
No, and we certainly learned one lesson, and that's lawyers are expensive. So avoid them at all costs, or just you know, be very efficient in your use of their time.
Yeah, and I don't know how the pandemic will impact couples that might want to come. I don't really know, you know, because we would have nationwide, you know, you can come from any place, and to spend a weekend with other couples that you don't know exactly where they've been and they've flown there. I don't understand, you know, everybody has their own level of comfort with that. And I think that that's where we just trust the Lord that if it's even one couple, two couples, Rich and I would be more than willing to sit with them for a weekend. And so it's just trusting that as God has led us here, the intersection of the pandemic will be something that he unfolds like he's unfolded everything else.
Yes. It looks like here that, are you still hoping that maybe a first launch would be in late September?
We hope so. I don't, you know, I just had a conversation with someone yesterday about the pandemic and is that going to be an issue? So just praying through whether or not to scoot that date. Probably need to decide in the next 3 weeks. If we're going to postpone, scoot that date, we just need clarity on that.
Yeah. Tell us what married couples that would come can expect to get from the retreat.
Yeah, it's really multifold. I mean, first of all, there is no, we don't pretend to be professional counselors. And we make that obvious on it. We try to make that very plain and very obvious on our website. You know, we're not there to replace a professional counselor. We're there for a weekend to essentially breathe some hope through the scriptures, through our journey, through Christ, into married couples who are experience the loss of a child. Just breathe some life into them. Just, you know, put a boost of wind in their sails. So a weekend would look like, you know, it would be a combination of fellowship, recreation, teaching, and really just pouring into the scriptures and seeing what Jesus has to say about this grief journey that we're on. We realize grief can come in all kinds of different fashion, you know, from loss of job, broken relationship, loss of health, death. And, you know, we because of our own experience, have really focused in on just trying to let couples know that this journey that they're on, that they didn't intend to be on, you know, it's doable. And I think there's value in seeing another couple further down the road than you, that you can engage life in the midst of very, very hard things. And so, yeah, so the weekend would be, you know, come in on Friday, leave Sunday, and try to be a nice mix. It's important that you do interject some fun into it. To show that you still can have fun. You still can do things to enjoy life in the midst of difficulty. And where better to do it than in the mountains? I mean, the mountains just, they're, you know, Jesus was always withdrawing to the mountains to pray. There's something about them that just speaks to his glory and his majesty. And so, that's our hope, that people would be able to come and experience that. And just go away from that, looking at each other and saying, you know, through Christ, we can do this. We can do this.
That is awesome. That is great. And yeah, like you said, obviously you're focused on helping through the Lord's guidance and being in the location that you're at. I mean, that is awesome. I was talking to you before we went live that I've got some in-laws that live out in Colorado Springs, and having grown up in Indiana and worked here this whole time, yeah, it feels like a respite getting out there and being in the mountains and realizing that the sun shines 300 days a year. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, geographically, what a cool spot that you guys are in. It's up around Estes Park. Is that
correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. The YMCA in Estes is a, you know, they have cabins, they have lodges. I think they said they have enough housing to house like 10,000 people. I mean, it's a very expansive complex, horseback riding right at the base of Rocky Mountain National Park. It's just a really, really beautiful place.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know, you know, we're only going to post the audio from this, but you guys are sitting in a log cabin, both wearing cowboy hats, and you know, just kidding about the cowboy hats, but they really are in a log cabin, and it looks like it's another beautiful sunny day in Colorado. So
it is. That's
really cool. Can you tell us, you know, what you both did prior to opening up this ministry, or continue to do, you know, while you're doing this ministry?
Well, you know, after graduating from AU back in 88, first graduating class from Anderson University, 87, it was Anderson College. So whatever that distinction gets me. I know what it got me. It got me a trip to Ohio State for grad school. So I graduated from Ohio State with my master's in EE in 90, and Kelly and I moved out here to Colorado, and I was fortunate enough to get a job in the microelectronics industry. And I spent my entire career working in that. And you know, been very, very fortunate. So it'll be 30 years this fall that I've been able to work in that industry, doing a bunch of different jobs, and for the most part for the same company. It's just been bought and sold so many times, it's changed hands, changed names. Mm-hmm. And so been very blessed, and you know, that's what I do for a living. And Kelly has spent most of her career as a basketball coach.
Yeah, I started coaching when I was still a student at AU. I coached 4th, 5th, and 6th grade girls my junior and senior year. And, you know, I don't know that I ever thought I would make a profession out of coaching, but it doesn't surprise me that I made a profession out of mentoring young women, and basketball happened to be the avenue to reach them. So I have coached mostly collegiately. I began my career at Colorado State University here. Was an assistant coach for 5 years, and then I coached a women's professional team out here, head coach for them. And then I was the head coach at Ball State in Muncie for 4 years, and then I went to Taylor University for 4 years. So I really feel like God has gently, so gently, closed that career in a way that only He could, to show me that my passions and talents really need to pour into this ministry. Rich is working full-time still, so I have the title of executive director, which really just means that I do the day-to-day. And now I've shifted to from impacting young women every day to really having this focus on the marriage relationship.
Very good. Yeah. Just so we know, EE, that's electrical engineering.
Engineering, yes.
And Kelly, yeah, I know you were a longtime head coach. And I'd be missing an opportunity to not at least state that you, as an alumna, coached Ball State, and you know, and big highlight, I would assume, was beating Tennessee in the tournament that year under Pat Summitt, right?
Yeah. That had to, yeah. Yeah, it was a magical night for sure. And we recently had a 10-year reunion at Ball State for that team. And just to revisit what happened with that group, that was about a year and a half ago, to be back in Worthen Arena. Yeah. And I would say the athletic department did an amazing job of highlighting that team. And you know, it was magical. It really was. I'm really blessed to be a part of it.
And I think it was voted this spring, because with the quarantine, they were looking for things to do. So they had an online voting tournament of all the top sports events in Ball State history. Mm-hmm. And that came out on top.
Number one.
And number one. Again, yeah. I'm not sure what that got them. Got them a t-shirt maybe. But
Well, I would think it would certainly deserve number one. I mean, that is incredible. I was looking up some of the history, and Tennessee had made the Sweet 16 every year up until that point since like 1981. So, I mean, that was, in the world of women's college basketball, just, you know, an epic upset. Okay. But, and I think you guys won by like 16 points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That close. But so that awesome. I mean, such a cool memory, I'm sure, that you have. I know you both were athletes at AU, and your sons were athletes. And I know you're going to talk a little bit about that as you talk about AU. But how did you find your way to AU, and maybe a little bit about kind of where you grew up?
Yeah, I grew up just outside of Marion, Indiana. Went to high school, Oak Hill. my sister, 2 years older than me, she was running cross country for Larry Maddox at AU. She graduated from AU in AC then in 86. And I really had no intention to go to Anderson. I actually started at the Air Force Academy. I was going to play football for them. Things didn't work out. And I really came back to Anderson because my sister was there and her friends were there. And I needed a place that was home, comfort, welcoming. Mm-hmm. And so after I left the academy, I just went right to AU, basically, AC at the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's how I found my way there. And then so glad that obviously that I ended up at Anderson for many reasons, despite the fact that I met Kelly there a couple of years later. You know, just some real lifelong relationships. You know, the professors that I interacted with in the math and physics department, even outside of that, were just outstanding. So, yeah, it was a natural thing for me to go there, really in a time when I was hurting, and it proved to be, in the long run, just a phenomenal experience.
Yeah, mine was different. I grew up in southeastern Ohio, and I would say 50% or more of my high school classmates went to either Ohio State or to Ohio University. And though I probably should have been influenced by that, in my heart, I wanted to pursue a Christian college environment. And that was God placed, because I only have one sibling that's older, and that was never on her radar. And so that was a God placed. My dad went to Ohio State, so I know that that was set on my spirit. And I had visited many Christian colleges. And going into my senior year, this gal moved from Indiana to my high school. And I shared with her I wanted to go to a Christian college. And because she was from Indiana, she mentioned Anderson. And so I went on a visit there. And there was just no doubt in my mind on that visit that that's where I felt comfortable and didn't know anyone there. But basketball became an instant community for me, being on a team. And my experience there was really, really grew my faith. I accepted Jesus early in life, but I didn't really develop a personal daily walk with him until Anderson. And it was really because I saw other students experiencing a daily fellowship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I desired that. And so that whole time there, I was learning from watching others. And then the beauty of a Christ-centered relationship with Rich that began there too. So those things impact us every day here still.
That's wonderful. How did you guys meet on campus? I know you're both really involved in athletics. Was it bumping into each other, working out at the gym, or?
Actually, no, it was at the library.
Okay.
Really was. It was like first or second day of school, and I was in there studying. Really, I mean, I was. And in comes Kelly, and she had a French assignment. So I never did tell Sally Jo's schoolmistress that I really should thank her for having this early French assignment, because Kelly had to come in the library and look up something on France, and just walked in front of my view. So I wasn't studying that hard.
Sounds like studying stopped about that point.
Yeah, it did. Well, but I didn't officially meet her until a couple of days later.
Okay.
But the image of Kelly was already burned in my brain. And I just had to see her on campus.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So, Rich, you played football every year you were at AU. Is that right?
I took 1 year. I took my sophomore year off. I played my freshman, junior, and senior year.
Okay.
What's that?
What position?
I was a tight end. Mike Manley was the head coach at the time. And still have relationships with some of the guys. You know, relationships over the years, you know, they just naturally go their own way sometimes. Nothing that you intend to do. Life just comes at you, you know. It spreads you to the four winds. And but there are still a few guys that I have good relationships with and still enjoy chatting with every now and then.
And Kelly, you played basketball, of course, and track. Yeah. Worth noting that you entered into the AU Hall of Fame in 2002. And for 10 years, I think 11, you were our all-time leading scorer, points and rebounds at AU. I think Rachel Miller in 01 took a couple of those. I don't know if you're still maybe the leader in blocks, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, anyway. I think maybe Hannah, who's a friend of our future daughter-in-law, maybe she got the blocked one this year, which would be awesome. Basketball was my sport, I would say, and Larry Maddox so as Larry can only do recruit so well, recruited me to high jump. But I had three head coaches in 4 years at Anderson, and just really, I think, forced me into leadership in ways that I can still see that I'm leading. You know, I don't know that I was a natural leader, but through AU and having such transition with coaching, when your teammates look to you to like perform on the court, they also look to you to lead. And I think that kind of forced my hand at that. I wasn't incredibly vocal. Rich can testify to that, that I was not a very vocal person, and I had to learn
was.
Now I'm very vocal. But I loved my experience there. Basketball opens the door for so many things, and I never dreamed that, you know, it would at the end of it all be about relationships. Mm. And, you know, you referenced Tennessee, and when we had the 10-year reunion a year and a half ago of the team that beat Tennessee at Ball State, we all sat together and we were not talking about any play that happened. We weren't talking about scores. We were talking about funny things that happened between us as people. Mm-hmm. And I think that just is the community of team that happens and that lives long past game time.
Mm-hmm. That's good. What are some of your favorite AU memories? Of course, meeting each other. But
you know, for me, dorm life, you know, just the things that, you know, you never let your parents find out that you did. or HL. Yeah, you know, I had some funny interactions with HL over the years. And I said, you know, I pride myself on the fact that I never had to come into your office. And without a hesitation, he just looks at me and goes, "That's because you never got caught." So, you know, it wasn't lost on HL that, you know, there are things that go on that, you know, you just don't get caught. Yeah. And so, yeah, you know, dorm life was awesome.
Which hall were you in?
Freshman year, I was Smith, and then sophomore and junior year, I was Dunn.
Okay.
And, yeah, it was, you know, just the crazy things that go on in dorm life. You know, those always bring a smile to my heart, even now, as I think back on them. You know, the football, you know, we didn't have the success that we'd like to, but, you know, even so, you know, anytime you're on a team and you're working hard and you're just seeing that life doesn't always go your way, even though you put hard work in there. I mean, we were working just as hard as the next team, but for whatever reason, you know, we just didn't have the success, but there's a bonding that goes on there. There's a formation that goes on with team sports that's unlike any other. And yeah, so those memories, you know, I think it was my senior year. They had 3-a-days, you know, they used to have 2-a-days, but we would be up at 6 a.m. Then we'd have another morning practice and we'd have an afternoon practice. And so, you know, there's a lot of times you sit there and scratch your head and said, you know, I'm doing this for free. You know, what am I doing? You know, so I was always really glad when the academic year started, because that meant that fall camp was over and I could have a somewhat normal life again as a student and an athlete.
I really had two lives at Anderson. I met Rich my freshman year, and so my freshman and sophomore year, I gravitated toward his friends. And when he graduated and went to Ohio State, I still had my junior and senior year there by myself at Anderson. So that was kind of phase two for me of developing a whole different community and a lot of growth in my walk with Jesus. I would spend just precious intimate time with the Lord in the little prayer chapel over at the School of Theology. And I really enjoyed the quiet, a way of understanding how the Lord uniquely speaks to me. And, you know, I have slowed down, I think, and really spent a lot of time on my own growth in Christ, which then overflowed into Rich and I's relationship. And, you know, eventually got us to the point of wanting to pursue marriage. And because of the growth in Christ, there's no doubt that our marriage began, you know, differently than had I not slowed down to really develop that. So, you know, I just went, even when I'm at Anderson now with Evan still being there, you know, I think about what the Lord did in placing me there in order to strengthen my walk with the Lord, and never knowing that Rich and I would find ourselves in a place with Derek's death that we now understand utter dependence on Jesus. We were just talking about that a day or two ago, that can you actually get to a point in life without incredible hardship that you hunger and thirst after Jesus as if you're not going to be able to breathe? If he doesn't come through for me when I cry out today, I'm not sure I can breathe. And we've been in that spot. But what I'm sharing is that the growth in Jesus that has taken place all of these years, pretty profoundly at AU, positioned us in tragedy to turn to the one and only living Savior that could cause us to breathe, literally to breathe, and to open our eyes each morning and even come close to engaging the day.
That's great. It sounds like, yeah, AU was helping to foster and cultivate your relationship with God to get you where you are today with this ministry. I know AU, you know, part of the fabric of who we are and the mission of educating for a life of faith and service in the church and society. Kelly, you mentioned some of those quiet times in the SOT Miller Chapel. Were there other, in what ways are other people that might have been influential at AU, or programs or events that may have happened at AU that really helped you both grow in your faith?
You know, I mean, it's a really good question. You know, just the overall culture at AU. I mean, I can't really think of a specific person or a specific time, but I would just say the consistency that I saw from the president, as Nicholson at the time, mm-hmm. on down to the to professors, on down to the coaches. There is just a consistency there. Now, everybody's people. I mean, we're all fallen creatures, right? And we all mess up at times. But there is an overall consistency in just educating and bringing Christ along in that educational process. And, you know, I saw that. And, yeah, like I can't think of one specific thing. It was just the overall consistency and the pouring into people's lives by people committed to the school. And that's what also struck me also was just the commitment that longtime staff, you know, you said it, you and your wife have both been serving for 13, 14, 15 years. And it was, you know, it was that way when we were there. It was just like people that devoted themselves to the school for the purpose of doing Christian higher education.
I think for me, two things. Chapel was very meaningful to me. As my faith grew, I loved the worship time to really commune with Jesus through song. And I think that was something I looked forward to, was that communion with him through worship music. And then the person that stands out to me that's still very much in our lives that we actually talked to last night was Larry Maddox. Obviously, Larry, incredible coach. But I think for whatever reason, I know when I was a student, I looked toward Larry more as a mentor. And, you know, Larry and Joanne became really close friends of ours. And, you know, their story is that they have lost a daughter. And so Larry and Joanne, when Derek died, came alongside Rich and I. And they were able to do that because they could enter that pain in a way that their journey allowed them to enter that pain. And so we still really value our time with them. We had a Zoom call set up with them last night, in fact, and I had missed Central Time and all of that with them, but
their Wi-Fi went out, so.
Yeah, but we're gonna do that again on Monday. So Larry, and then as we got to know Joanne, his wife, very instrumental in my life.
Yeah, I know that that's the case for a lot. Coach Maddox he's a legend, not only for his ability to have great teams, but it's his pouring into so many years of student athletes. So yeah, it sounds like you benefited from that as well. Mm-hmm. What are your hopes for the future with both Living Hope, Mountain Respite, and are there other ministry endeavors that you're looking into that kind of parallel with your mission for that?
You know, you brought up the retreat in September. Every morning, as I have my quiet time, I just give the ministry. It's not really our ministry; it's his ministry, and I just pray that in his timing, he will bring people to the ministry who need it. You know, anytime you start something, business, ministry, an athletic team, you know, you desire for it to be a success, but then you have to really check yourself and define what success is. Because success isn't always driven just by numbers. Like Kelly said, if we just had one person, you know, if we only had one person ever come to a retreat and the Lord used us in a way to breathe hope into them through Christ, then it would all be worth it. So we just need to be patient. This COVID thing, this wasn't lost on the Lord when he laid it upon our hearts to start the ministry that we'd be in the middle of this pandemic. He knew that. We didn't. So, you know, just trusting his timing. You know, we obviously wish that there wasn't a need for this. That the people that experiencing the death of a child wouldn't have to go through that. But there are some just incredible things that you can learn through hardship, as Kelly said, that you can't learn any other way. I wish it was different, but you know, that's the way it is. And so, yeah, just really praying for patience for both Kelly and I as we wait for this ministry to unfold in his timing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think part of, it's just a small part too of what we are available to do and willing to do is to speak. And when we lived in Muncie and Anderson, we did speak at a marriage seminar over a weekend, and the area that we spoke into was loss. But we are willing to do that. If it's a marriage retreat, if it's a church conference, I think that there are other ways. If someone's not able to come to Colorado for a weekend retreat, I think there's other ways. Rich and I can encourage. And again, grief and hardship is not only introduced through this loss. And so sometimes the topic is loss, and it can be infertility. It can be miscarriage. It can be divorce. I think Rich and I really know how to talk about the hope of Christ in suffering, and it doesn't have to directly be related to the death of a child.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And listeners, if you have experienced the loss of a child and this seems to be something that you and your spouse would get a lot out of, it seems like the spot to go is your website. Is that correct? LivingHopeMountainRespite.com.
That's correct. And it has more than you probably would ever want to know. So I would say if you just want to catch the very core of it, the FAQ section really talks about the vision, the mission, what we're doing, and that part could benefit you quickly.
Yes, it really is a great website, and it has a bio about both of you and about your two sons. You mentioned kind of at the top of the show, Kelly, the verse that really informs your mission and your purpose and fulfilling God's path for you in this ministry, 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. I'm just going to go ahead and read it because it's great, and I think it really speaks to your hearts for what you're doing. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So thank you so much for what this ministry is shaping up to be. And we really do hope that, through this podcast and through the website and in your lives, that there will be people that take up this opportunity. I mean, you have a chance to go to Estes Park, Colorado. You have a chance to hang out with the Packards. I mean, what's not to get out of? So yeah, if this is something that resonates with any of you out there or anybody that you know, please go ahead and share with them information about Living Hope Mountain Respite. Well, Kelly and Rich, for the ones who've gone before,
soar, Ravens, soar.
God bless. Go, Ravens. Thank you both for being on the show.
Next week on the pod, we have 2015 Bachelor of Arts in Business Administration and Management, and 2016 Master of Business Administration and International Business alumna, Chelsea Lee Samuels.